We've got several families that are out today. I'll tell you why in just a moment. I think we have some folks that will be coming in between Sunday school and church hour, but we're going to be low in number today, but I'm glad you're here this morning, and glad Alyssa came to be with us. This is your first Sunday coming, right? So we're glad she is feeling better and able to be back. Glad Mitch is feeling better and able to be here. Those of you that... I guess probably everybody here already knows, if you're on our text message that goes out, Kelly's mom is in the hospital down in Thomaston. She has some bleeding going on. The doctor said they think it's from her diverticulitis. Apparently she has very serious diverticulitis and has had for some time. Anyway, they were trying to figure out exactly where the bleeding was coming from and what the problem was yesterday in the hospital, but they won't let anybody there in the hospital, even in her room with her, so even Kelly and her sister haven't been able to go in there with her. And Kevin texted me early this morning and said that during the night, her mother almost passed away, and the hospital didn't even call Kelly or her sister because they didn't want them coming to the hospital. And so, anyway, right now there's a surgeon that's en route to the hospital that's supposed to be meeting with Kelly's mom. I don't know what kind of condition she's in to be talking with the doctor and making decisions, but there's a surgeon on the way to meet with her, and they're going to decide whether they're going to go ahead and do some kind of surgery. But, of course, Kelly is concerned. I think her concern is that, hey, we can't even get in there to talk to the doctor ourselves or talk to our mom ourselves. And so we need to be in prayer for Kelly's mom, especially this morning, but of course be in prayer for Kevin and Kelly as well. I'll say this, Kelly has said it before, so I don't think she'll mind me saying it. We need to pray for our mom, not only because she has the physical problems that are serious, but Kelly's mom is not saved. She is a Jehovah's Witness and has been a Jehovah's Witness Kelly's whole life. And so we really need to pray that her mom would not only have some more time in the physical realm, but that this might be what opens her heart to receiving the gospel and getting saved. To the best of my knowledge, Kelly's sister is not saved either. She's been back and forth with Jehovah's Witnesses over the years herself, and so I do not have any reason to believe Kelly's sister is saved. Kelly didn't tell me that. I'm just speculating. So we need to pray that God will do some things spiritually in their family as well, maybe even through this physical situation. And then, as I already mentioned, Carolyn texted me this morning and said Brother Jim is sick with all the stopped up head stuff, and his nose was just pouring blood this morning, she said, when he blew his nose. I had blood coming out of my nose a couple of days this week too from blowing my nose. It's all the heat in the house dries us up, and then all the sinus stuff going on too. So pray for Brother Jim. I guess you all already figured this out. When Thomas or Carolyn are sick, Brother Jim can sometimes come by himself, but when he's sick, none of them can come because Carolyn has to have him to get Thomas in the wheelchair out of the van and back into the van, because Thomas has gotten so big now that Miss Carolyn can hardly maneuver him around. So whenever Jim's not here, none of them are able to be here. So preacher will be leading the singing this morning and in the 11 o'clock hour. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully everybody is too. Abigail's looking at me like, oh no. Anyway, those are the church members that I know of. We also need to pray for Wanda and Billy. She just got over having the virus about a week ago, and now they think Billy has the virus. I haven't talked to him in the last day or so, but he was extremely sick too. So pray for both of them. Of course, he's still getting over his back surgery, but he had just gone back to work, and it's the first time he had really been out in a while, and now he's got what looks like the virus, so pray for them too. Gina is home. She's getting over the virus. When I texted with her yesterday, she said that she was feeling a good bit better. Her fever was gone, but she's still recuperating as well, so that's why she nor Steve will be here today either. All right. So lots of folks that are sick right now with everything going on. Other people have prayer requests, Ms. Mary?
Pray for Robert. He can get his truck fixed. He's going on 2 weeks now, and they've tried, tried, tried.
Okay.
And he's kind of depressed and down and out over it.
All right.
I just went down there last night, and they worked and worked and worked. Only couldn't get it started.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it starts, but it won't go and get it.
I understand, and that can get expensive, I know. All right, other prayer requests, Timothy?
Five.
All right. Timothy has five unspoken.
Seven.
All right. Mitch has seven. Brother Bob? Three. Three unspoken for Brother Bob.
You can also have three unspoken.
All right. Mary has three as well. TR? Okay. Okay. So TR has unspoken prayer requests and unspoken praise, and somebody he's praying for to get saved. Ms. Kim?
Still
continue to remember my parents. They got
the car back, but their son was wrong with it. Was not what was wrong with it. So they paid for a part that they didn't need. So she was very upset about it.
I don't blame her.
But y'all still continue to remember them and their sicknesses and stuff. And then remember Debbie and David, and Abigail,
for surgery. Have we heard anything?
Not here, so.
Have we heard anything back from the insurance?
No, sir. That's what I'm praying, that the insurance will light somebody a lot of fire under them. I guess it'll have to be me. And since Cheyenne ain't here, just remember Elizabeth and her upcoming surgery for her ears.
Okay. Abigail, anything? Everything's going great in the world of Abigail. All right. We're glad Alyssa's feeling better. She was sick this week. Mitch was sick this week. Glad they're both feeling better. Anybody else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to bring our request to you. Lord, we thank you that you care about our individual lives. Lord, you care about us personally. Father, we know that you hear these requests because, Lord, we've lifted them up to you. These are all people that are important to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work and intervene in each of these situations. Lord, not necessarily for the way we want it to turn out, but Lord, for what you know is best for them and for us. And Lord, we'll trust you whatever the situation is, whatever the outcome is. We'll still praise you and give you the glory. But dear Heavenly Father, you know our heart's desires, so we pray that you would intervene in each of these situations as you see best. We pray now, Father, too, for those that wanted to be here this morning and aren't able to be here. Lord, be with them and bring them back to us safely as well. Then in the 11 o'clock service, we pray that your Holy Spirit would, Lord, be in this place and that you would touch each of our hearts with exactly what we need this morning. Lord, be with our Sunday school teacher as he comes to teach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm taking prayer requests and praises this morning because you got a special treat. A couple of weeks ago, I asked Brother Alex if he was ready for another go-round at teaching, and he is. And so, Brother Alex, you come share whatever God's laid on your heart for us for today.
Different things here to use. All right. All right, so this morning I'm gonna do the story of Job. I think a lot of people are going through a lot of bad things, not even considering country or anything like that, just a lot of people going through a lot of bad things, and we need to know that we still got to have faith in God and still put Him higher than ourselves. And of course, we all know Job did that. And so I wanted to go through his story. Obviously, the story of Job is from chapter 1 of the book to chapter 42 of the book. So obviously, I couldn't get all that in, but I'm going to get in as much as I can in the time that I have. I'm going to start with Job 1. We're going to go through the first two chapters for sure, all the way through. But I guess we'll go ahead and dive into it. Starting with Job chapter 1, verse 1. Where was a man in the land of Uz or Uz? Which one is it?
I say Uz.
That's Uz is what I kind of went with. Whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, which basically means he turned away from evil anytime he saw it. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So, I mean, just right there, I mean, that's a lot of stuff he had. That's more than most anybody, even rich people, would have, with 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel. I mean, that's a lot. He also had the 500 oxen and 500 donkeys, pretty much. So he had quite a bit. And like I said, the 7 sons and 3 daughters. All right, I'm just going to continue here. And it was so, oh no, I skipped a verse here. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. So basically, Job, even though his children would sin and go against God, every morning he would get up and do a burnt offering for all of them and pray for them, basically, to not sin so much or at all, if he could have his way. So he would do that every morning. He would rise up and burn an offering for his children and himself, obviously. I'm assuming he would. Let me make sure where I'm at. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord, "And from walking," and said, "from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" So basically, God's bragging on Job to Satan, like, you know, nobody is like this man. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for not?" And what he's saying there is, does Job fear you for no reason, or is there a reason? That's what Satan's asking God, and he continues with that and says, Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath? His hands and his substance is increased in the land." So he's basically saying, didn't you give him all this stuff that he has, and doesn't he have a reason to fear you? That if he didn't have this, that he wouldn't fear you? So he puts that forth, and he says, but put forth thine hand now, and teach all, or, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So he's saying, take what he has, and he'll hate you, and he'll curse you to his face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power, or is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So God put Job in basically everything Job had in Satan's hand, said, then if you think he'll go against me, then take it from him. And but he did tell Satan, don't touch Job. You're not allowed to touch him, but anything he has, it's in your hand. So we'll continue here. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. They have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So the Sabians came in, because of course Satan led them in to do this, and took all the ox and camel, which were what I say that was. There were 500 ox and five. Well, that wouldn't the camel. It's 3,000 camel and 500 oxen. I believe that's the first thing they took.
The oxen and the donkeys?
Oh, oxen. Oh, so 500 of each is what they took, and they slain all the servants that worked with them. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So now all the sheep were burnt up and the servants that... that dealt with the sheep. All right. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and servants with the edge and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of a sword, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. So basically, they took the camels. So now he's out his camels and more servants. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So now not as everything he had as far as stock has already been gone or killed. Almost all his servants pretty much. Now all his children are gone. It said in here, and I just wanted to bring this up. It said in here, it fell upon the young men and they were dead. It didn't say the women too as far as the daughters, but then it does say at the end that I'm the only one that is alive to tell you. So right. They did die, even though it didn't directly say the daughters died. I feel that they're dead too. So I didn't want to throw that in there. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. So basically, that's just saying he took his clothes off, shaved his head so that God could, I guess they felt like God could see you right through your head. So if he didn't have any hair, it was easier. Go ahead and finish that. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So basically, it's saying right there that even though all that happened to Job, the first thing he done after all that happened was he got down and he worshiped the Lord and held up the Lord's name and put God on high. Even though all that had happened, he basically said, the Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. And he didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't blame God for his problems. So we can say that's stronger than most people would be, even if you just lost everything you had. It's hard. It's going to be hard not to put the blame somewhere else instead of yourself, you know. So he's very strong at that, and that's how we should aspire to be. And all right, so Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. So that's God basically verifying that even though you got me to allow you to destroy everything he had, he still doesn't put it on me. He still holds his integrity, and he's still upright. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So he's telling God, well, if he'll do anything for his own self, for his skin, for his life. Let me make sure. Oh, yeah. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So once again, you know, the devil puts up the case of, if you just took his life or his health, then he'd curse you. And God then says, okay, I'll give you another chance, but you're not allowed to kill him. You spare his life, but anything other than that, he's in your hands. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. I just feel like I should explain. He's basically got boils and sores all over his body, and that the whole potsherd, it's basically he took a piece of broken pottery and he was scraping the sore boils to get them off of him. So I figured I'd describe that for you. I figured you wanted to hear that. So. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as of the foolish woman speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So basically his wife tells him, you know, you're suffering. Why don't you just curse God and let him strike you down? And he says, no, you're talking foolish. I'm not going to do that. And so he said, no, I'm not going to curse God, even when his wife told him he should. And he's suffering and hurting. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all the evil that was coming, that was come upon him, they came that came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. So his friends come to comfort him. They rent their clothes also and sit down with him. And the sprinkling the dirt or dust on their head, I looked it up. It's just it was a practice showing that you were sad for somebody. So I don't know the deepest parts of it, but that's just something they did. They sprinkled dust or dirt on their head when they were showing that they were sad and mourning for someone else. So, all right. So, I'm trying to catch myself up here. At this point, this is pretty bad. He's went through pretty bad, and still hasn't went against the Lord. I don't want to go through every chapter of it because we'd be here a lot longer than we got time for. But I basically wanted to do all of the story to where he was put through all that and still hasn't so far cursed God or anything like that. Right after this, in chapter 3, I gotta get it pulled up here. Okay, so right after that, in chapter 3, Job did ask to be, that he could die, or that he wasn't born. Not saying anything against God, but first few chapters of chapter 3 is, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said that there is a man child conceived. So I don't want to go through every bit of it, but he was in a lot of pain, saying that he felt bad about all that, but that's still not him going against God. That's just him showing his grief and his pain at the time. Basically, there is a lot that they say in through the chapters between there and 16 that his friends tell him that you must have done something horrible. There's no way this would happen to a righteous man. It just wouldn't. That you had to have done something, and you need to get right with whatever that is that you did wrong. Well, after they say all that, in chapter 16, starting in verse 1, we hear his initial comment back to that. And what he tells them is, in chapter 16, verse 1, he says, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips would assuage your grief. So that went down to chapter 5, which he continues on that. I just kind of wanted, so that he's basically telling them, yeah, I could talk about you the same way. It wouldn't do me any good. It wouldn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any good for you to talk to me that way. And that's basically what he's saying, that he's kind of put that aside. He's not, he knows he hasn't done anything. And he's basically telling them, you telling me that I must have done something does nothing for me or you. It just doesn't. So that's kind of what I got out of that. Sound about right? Then we skip forward here to basically Job had questions, basically, and he did kind of, he never cursed the Lord or anything like that, but he had questions that he didn't have answers to. So basically God come to him to explain to him why he doesn't understand what's going on or why things would happen that way. And I'm going to read a few verses of a couple different examples. Really, I'm all the way in chapter 38. As you can see, we skipped quite a good bit there because we can't get through all that. Chapter 38, verse 1 in Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And that's God saying, who are you to say something against my counsel without knowledge about it, I believe. Anyway, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Basically, God's saying, so where were you when I built the world? If you know so much, you know, it's kind of a smack in the face, I guess, a little bit from him. Because he even goes on to say, who hath laid the measurement therefore, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Basically saying, how did I measure, or how is it measured, the earth? You know, it's so he's basically giving them examples of, I know better than you, and you just have to know that you don't have as much knowledge about things as God does. He knows every single aspect of it, and some things you have to take on faith that it's going to come out right. Or if not, it wasn't God's will. He knows what he's doing, even if you don't understand. Trying to get down here to this last chapter because that's where the ending is. Then there were some examples he gave where some things we know some about, but we don't know everything about it. I was trying to think of an example, but it's... I'm not sure on examples for that. I'm trying to make sure I get everything in here. All right. Okay, here's kind of where Job kind of jumps back in about how he had acted. Chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, I'm going to read here. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer ye twice, but I will proceed no further. So basically that's Job saying, okay, I might have said some things that I don't have the knowledge to know about, and I'm below you, and what you say is how it is. Kind of want to... I think I'm going to go ahead because of the time we have, and I'm going to get to chapter 42, verse 1, because I do want to read all of that one. Let's everybody get there. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. So he's telling him, you know everything, and you know everybody's heart and what they're thinking. There's nothing that can be held back from God. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in the dust and ashes. So that's him saying right there, I repent everything. You're all powerful, and I have faith in everything that you do. That's Job saying that. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. So that's him telling those friends that were talking bad to Job that, you know, they weren't talking right about God, and he's not happy with them. It's basically what he's saying right there. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullock and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. So he's basically saying, you need to get these animals and go to Job, do a burnt offering for yourself, have Job pray for you, because if you pray for yourself, it's not going to go over as well. I'll listen to Job if Job prays for you. All right. So Eliphaz and the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So I think one thing I will say that I don't want to come out of this story is that I don't want somebody to think, because there's something bad happening to you, that as long as you think you're doing right, that eventually you're going to get all kinds of things. I don't want that to be kind of... but yes, as long as you're in the will of the Lord, yes, he's gonna take care of you. But in the same sense, if something bad's happened to somebody, I don't want them to think, just because things bad happen, if I just wait long enough, I'm going to get all kinds of good things. And that's not what I want anybody to take from this, if that makes sense. He did gain twice what he had before all this was put on him. But the point is that he never once went against God or cursed God, even after all this bad stuff happened. So, of course, let's finish it out here. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought him upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So there's his money back. So the Lord blessed the later end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camel and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons, 3 and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Kerenhapuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons' sons eat even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So I don't know how old he was originally. I don't know if it says anywhere. But he got to live for another 140 years after he got all this stuff back. So he had a pretty good life after that point. 4 generations worth. So that's pretty good. But yeah, if we get nothing out of it, it's that we need to have, even in the worst of times, we need to have faith in God, that what he knows what needs to be done and how things need to go, and that we have to understand that we don't know his thought process. We would never be able to have that much knowledge. We couldn't handle that much knowledge. So we have to have faith even in the worst of times. So that's pretty much what I got on that. So
that's a good Sunday school lesson.
Yeah, thank you.
I felt weird. I don't think that entire time I moved my knees. So when I walked away just then.
Well, you know, that's why they say that in the military, sometimes, don't like your knees because they have new recruits falling out. Well, Alex was telling me this morning there was no way he was going to be able to cover all the material he had for this morning. And Alex, I think, I'll ask you if it's true for you what I found for me. I always end up getting more out of what I'm studying myself before I teach than what everybody else ends up getting.
Yeah. So.
That was a wonderful Sunday school lesson, and what a great story from the life of Job. And, some of the points that Alex brought out, they're good for all of us, no matter what's going on in our lives at any given time. I love the fact that you brought out the fact that, basically Job was saying, I've got a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. You ever feel like that in life? Something's going on in life. I've got a lot of questions, but Lord, I don't have too many answers here. But yet he continued to trust God. Boy, if we could ever get to the place in our lives like Job did, that we say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm just going to trust you. And to do like Job, he never cursed God throughout it all. Boy, he had some friends that suggested that he did. Even his wife suggested that just curse God and die. Boy, with friends and a wife like that, who needs enemies, right?
Yeah, that's the only time that I think that his wife was mentioned.
That's right.
That she talked like a foolish woman.
Well, yeah. Who needs enemies with friends and a wife like that? And then I like the passage you brought out in chapter 40 there, where finally the Lord goes through those questions. Were you here when I made the earth? Were you here when I stretched out the heavens above? Were you here for all that? Do you know as much as I know? And finally, Job came to a point that you read in chapter 40 where he says, Lord, I put my hand on my mouth. In other words, he's literally doing this, saying, I realize I don't know everything. I don't know as much as you know. Lord, I'm just going to be quiet and I'm going to listen. That's where God wants all of us to be, is at that point. Lord, I don't have all the answers, but Lord, I'm just going to be quiet and listen. And a lot of people, I like the fact that you brought out at the end that, we shouldn't expect that, even if we do right, that we're going to get this or that, because God's not a genie in a lamp. We don't just rub the lamp and have the genie pop out and God gives us whatever we want. No, he gives us what he knows we need. He gives us what's best for us. Brother, that was a great Sunday school lesson. I sure appreciate that. I told him I've never taught through the book of Job. I preached out of it a couple of times here or there, but that was a well-done Sunday school lesson. Thank you. All right, well, we've got about 15 minutes until our worship service. There'll probably be a few more people, hopefully, that'll come in. But just relax, fellowship together, do whatever you want to do, stretch your legs, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.